Hey Andy, I see you're online.
Yeah, I stayed home today.
Yeah, the roads were not very good yesterday here.
Yeah, one day of bad roads, I need to take a rest.
Yeah, and so I'm gonna try look at some data. And I guess we won't be meeting on Thursday because we got our Impact All Hands meeting at the time for the class.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know what about next week.
Well, next week you're not you're gone, right?
Yeah, I'm gone, so I think I don't know if I want to log in or what. And then the following week I might roll up, so we're gonna have to switch around.
You should s spend a solid week with your family and
I'm
try to
gonna
give
do
them some
that.
attention. Are your folks going with you?
Yeah, actually, I'm dropping my folks off at my sister's and stuff, so and I'm gonna go see. I'll be there for a little bit, but then I'll be with friends and other people. Oh yeah, I gotta get on my Zoom from the other session. Oh. Okay. Teaching. Nine. Four. Oh, yeah, I gotta admit myself. I'm on, this is the way I get on the computer. But I better mute myself. I'm at a computer, or else you get me twice. So, but this is the way we share our desktops. And you got the TV on? Okay. I got that. And Jen was going to get me some data that I wanted to look at for the class as we're speaking. She's probably taking the data. She said she'll be late, so I don't know what that means. Ooh, I guess it's 102. Okay, let me share a couple more here. Okay, let me share my screen here. Share that screen. Okay. This is, I got three monitors in front of me. This is going to be really, I should be used to it, right? I got five in my office, so okay. I'll have to make sure I tell Jen. We finished up the uncertainty assignment, lecture stuff on Tuesday. Last week, anyway. So, for people taking a class, I still got to get your lab reports back. Yes, just it's below writing proposals, getting ready for class, and other things. So, but I want you to have some more fun and practical. And anybody else that want to do this, go ahead and use errors on uncertainty and do these three problems. This is some acoustic work I did way back when, like 15 years ago. So, you got the equation here, I equals ZV squared, and we want to get the uncertainty in the sound intensity given the velocity. Given sound, you got to determine Z. So you got to manipulate the equation a little bit. Make a plot of I versus V squared. You can draw an error bar. You can do it on Excel if you really don't want to just sketch it. But this is kind of like an exam type of question that you could do during an exam, right? So you could sketch that. And hopefully you can tell me the proportionality between I and V squared. So there's only a few options. It will should be obvious. So the hard part is calculating with the uncertainty. So you got to come up with the equation for the uncertainty. And the next two are kind of from the chapters in the book that I had. Remember, there's a hint in both of one of these is that when you take a square root, it's plus or minus the root. There's two answers for a square root. So try to calculate that. And if you don't have time in the next week before Thanksgiving, you can do it during Thanksgiving so we can talk about this on 2 weeks from Tuesday. And maybe, hey, that's a great idea. I'm going to kind of be out of town next week. So maybe you guys can all log in and talk and do the problems without me. How's that? That way I don't have to do anything for class. So maybe next Tuesday, work on this and discuss the answers. See if you can figure out the answers. And you can all work on them together if you want. And how's that sound? And then Thursday we have the impacts all hands meeting. So we should go to that instead of have crass. So do this assignment. I'll come up with some type of way to grade it. The main thing is to do it and understand it so that you can have practice. Coming up with uncertainties with the derivatives and.
Did you say that you were going to give us the answers so we know that we did it correctly?
Oh, you want the actual answers? Yeah. I'll try to put them after class on the on here. I'll put them on the website. So I'll look them up and add them to the website. How's that? So we can do that. Okay, we'll do that. Got the videos uncertain. Oh, then the other assignment to keep you busy. I've been busy here. So I'm going to famously plug my paper that Sean and just got published. And so read this paper and pay particular attention to uncertainties that we calculate in the paper. And I put together what a quiz, one of my 5 or 10 question quizzes, and particularly about the uncertainties and how we calculate the uncertainty. And we can discuss this too and come up with all the issues. So here we have uncertainties are given in part 5 with the shading of the two values. And you can see the bottom where we have the red and the blue with the uncertainties. They obviously don't agree with each other. While this one, the uncertainties overlap, so they agree. And it's kind of obvious in this case because it's so, but this one may not quite be so obvious because we have big uncertainties in the, but the water cases agree with the uncertainties and the ice cases do not. And so think about the uncertainties that we calculate and remember the uncertainties are only in how we do the methods. So look at that, and I'll put together what a quiz, particularly focusing on the uncertainties. And everybody can think about writing more papers as an example. So like Christian is doing in his paper. So this was a thesis at one time. So, and you can go back and read the thesis if you want. So think of that as an application, at least in a limited sense, for the uncertainties. And also of the probes, we use imaging probes for the calculations. Okay, so 2 assignments. I suppose I should put that due in 2 weeks too or something. Maybe 2 weeks and maybe the following Thursday, I have to put a due date. So we have a quiz on that. And then I owe you some quizzes also. So that's my other thing is write some quizzes. Get back into that like we had at the beginning of the semester. And then I'll probably be at Wallops and I will try to figure out if we can do stuff on the airplane from Wallops. So I was hoping Jen would come, but since everybody's here, I've been playing around a lot with the data acquisition system. So let's see here. Let me stop sharing. Stop sharing that. And then I'm going to come back over. Watch to see if anybody else comes on. Okay, let's see. I got to share over here. Share screen. Oh, now I got to put this screen over here. So you can see it, right? And then I got to make this full screen. And let me move that out of the way. Okay, now you can see that. Okay. So now I got to work on this computer. And what I thought I'd do is show you some about the data acquisition system. So on the P3 aircraft, what instruments, anybody want to answer? Maybe I should put a chat question. Can we chat? And this way, how about put in the chat, what instruments, well, I don't want to do it that way. I might chat over here. What instruments are we recording data from on the data, on the M300 data acquisition SEA system? So what are the instruments on the P3 aircraft? Acronyms are fine. So see, so you want to put your name, you can do it, everybody. See who gets the instruments first. Anybody who's going to join my little chat? What instruments? Well, you can text it to me if you don't want to send it to everybody. What instruments are connected to the M300 DAQ, data acquisition system? You could tell me. I'm hoping that someone online would say something, because I know you know. Maybe I don't know you, you know, but I'm trying to get some response. They're probably looking at the emails. Anybody's responding? Let them go forward a bit. Just do one, tell me. So the, maybe I ask Christian, what operating system does the M300 use? What type of operating system? That's the Windows system. QNX, QNX 4, it's a real-time Linux operating system. And so what I pulled up here is a virtual machine player, VMware player. So they got Oracle's virtual machines. So they virtualized everything in terms of allowing the processor to process data from multiple systems at one time, so you can virtualize your operating system. So I have a virtual component of QNX, so I don't have to set this up on every computer. We used to have laptops that we would have to set this up on, but now I can just play the virtual system on this computer. And let me get rid of my other screen so you can see just the virtual system. And I think we have the system on the aircraft set up differently. Andrew's very good. He gave out an answer. So our Linux systems typically have a text-based interface to begin with, and then a graphical interface built upon that. And this one, we have a login for UND. So the default login is UND. And then it brings up the system. And the other thing is you don't see quite all of it. Oh, you do. Okay, I think I got all of it. Yeah. So I got what old aircraft as the background on this, because this was done a long time ago. So usually, and then you see my mouse in here, and you got to do like control alt to get out of it. So you're back in the normal system. So it's like a operating system on top of an operating system. So you click on it, you get the operating system. So this is what it will look like, similar to on the aircraft. So just imagine you're inside the window. And you got these virtual desktops that you can switch through here. Interface on the bottom. This is like the command tool. But the main thing is I always bring up shells. Yeah. And I always like to have two of them. And everything. So, that was the other thing I was going to do was, did we ever put the wiki page? Do we have a check sheet of what we are doing it on the aircraft for this year? Have we updated that? Mission calendar, log, documentation. Documentation. So, aircraft configuration, probe operator. So, must be this probe operator checklist, right? So this is what you'll have. So why don't I get rid of that and bring back my Windows and go grab a copy of that. Oh, but there's no checklist in here.
Probably just do the 2022 one.
Do the 2022 one. Maybe we should update the checklist. What's the latest one? I know there's PDFs here, but you should also put the... I can't modify the PDFs. There's an ODT, but the ODT is not up to date. Let's see here. Yeah, that's an old one, though. Oh, I know.
That's Microsoft Word document.
Oh, is that the latest one? Yeah. That's the latest one, huh? Right here. I'll make a new one. So today is 20/11/15, right? 11/15. Ooh, I don't know, view, zoom. Okay. So let's update the checklist. 11/15. Have our USB drives, notebook. Oh, everybody should bring a notebook. Bring lots of cameras and pictures to take. Know the data. And then I'm at a circuit breaker breeze. I won't do that after flight. And so here is the data acquisition and answer to my question, at least somewhat. M300, Hotwire Boom, CDP, King Probe, WCM, and now, oops, insert. We have the Rice, and we're calling this one B. And then we have the Rice A on the fuselage. So that's what's on the data acquisition.
Dave, can you move the chat window down off the middle of the screen?
Chat window. Oh.
Or is that on my machine? I think
that's on your machine, isn't it?
Yep, yeah. I'm sorry. It was on my machine.
Don't worry. I got three monitors and two computers in front of me. So, we got the, if we have to get in KM switches, you have to enter our zeros for the password. We have on the M300 is time sync script. So that syncs the data system to the network time protocol time server on the aircraft. And this is what they haven't been able to test yet because they don't have network on a P3. And then during today's meeting, they have an issue with getting the satellite data.
Like their license is running out.
And I'm not clear on if that's the download of the data, but they must GPS time sync it, so that must come from a GPS. I don't know how they do their time sync to originally get it. They must sync it to a GPS, I would think. So we wouldn't need that to do the GPS time sync. But we need to check that and make sure our times are synced up at the beginning. I won't do that. And then there's a way to manually edit it if you somehow can't sync it with this command. And a way to read it if we're reading. I don't know if this is even... This is not really valid on a P3. I should take that off. This is on a citation. Get rid of that. So MPM, start the M300 software, type PH to get into the GUI. So, maybe I'll put this in my other virtual window so I can flip back and forth. So I got to get rid of this, get back. So type PH and you come up to here, open the terminals. In a terminal window, launch the M300. So I guess you, open a terminal window. Do you get that? I mean, left click on the background to open a terminal window. So it's already one of the things that aren't in the direction. So this is a right click. So how much directions do you need on the system? And select shell. And I suppose the other way to do this is you should probably, you know, do this to highlight the fact that we are doing multiple ones. So, all right, so we got these three steps right here. I open up the shell and we'll type M300. And that brings up the, I guess what we refer to as M300 software. And there's two ways to do the M300 as a real-time acquisition for the system, and where you start seeing everything come in, and then there is the playback mode. And I have a license for the playback mode on here. I got the license key here, my special order key. And so on here, I'm gonna have to open up the recent file from early this year so I could play it back. So I'm in playback mode here. And normally it would just start and you'll see the data come across and you wouldn't have to open anything up. But I wanted to play back a different one. And the other thing is that the time is, my playback is going really fast. So let me slow down time.
Speeding it up.
Oh. Let's see if I can slow it down. Is it getting slower?
Put it all the way to the right.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah.
I think this is 2 seconds. So this, if I go to 1 second, it should be one second for 1 second. So there we go. So I have the system playing back everything on the data system. So, and so, hold on, let me get away. So ask me some question. You have in here multiple windows, like this, some window here I got to fix on why that this window is even in here. Does that come on every window? Huh. Anyway, I got to figure out where this window is and delete it, I think. I think that's left over from another project. And so a couple main things here is this is your control. And it tells you if you the status, it will tell you that you're writing a data file here and make sure you're recording. So Jennifer's coming to tell us about the playback or the data. So you have the windows here. And the one thing I like to do is I use the function F3 and go through all the text windows. This is the way we got this set up. So you can do WCM data, crawl droplet probe data, King, Hotwire, ISIN probe A, ISIN probe B I have set up on here. And then this is the other important one. It's kind of at the end, but it's another thing to really check as the most important thing is if you're getting data or not. So in this case, we're just getting CDP data. So this will tell us we want to make sure we get data from the rice A, the ISIN probe A and B and the WCM. And I think we got them set, but I had them wrong yesterday. So Jen, were you able to get some more data?
Yeah, it's on the NAS drive. Oh, and ground data.
Wonderful. Did you happen to notice if the data was actually coming across and my stuff worked today?
So for the rice B, it shows that it's on, but it doesn't take data. And then also, if I have the, like, in this table that you have currently pulled up, so if I turn on rice A, both of them say yes. When I turn that off and I turn on rice B, it only shows that B is on. And then when I have them both on, they show that they're both on.
Oh, so I must have something messed up. Do you see data in... Well, let's go, and instead of seeing about this, I'll show you what we need to do, because one of the things we can do is like what Jen did. She went and took some data on the aircraft, and I can bring it back here, and I just exited out. Sorry, I did that. The other thing is you don't have to exit out of the shells, but you should really exit out of the photon windrange system. So you do shutdown. And then I think on the aircraft, when this happens, we don't have the keyboard anymore. But if you get out of the windrange system, then you can just turn off the M300. And in this case, I'm just powering it off. And the reason I had to do that was because to get the new data is a little bit tricky on this system. So let's see here. We got to go to 2023. No. Oh, I got to be on aircraft. Got to make sure I'm on the right computer. So everybody can do this. Flight data, all right, ground data. I assume you put on the ground data. Oh, look at that. Okay. So we have some data there. And I have my normal drive here. I'll make my directories. Because I haven't creating directories on this computer. And we got to do 22,000 minus R aircraft dot Atmos. UND.edu, and then we'll grab the data. And I'm going to grab the whole directory and put it in a local place here, which just gave us the data file. And we should be able to process this, but process all impacts. So we can use a processing script to process that. But what I'm really interested in is getting into my playback system so we can look at the data. And the problem is that there's a shared drive with my virtual machine, and this is how I get data into it. So I have this shared drive that I can mount on the Linux side. That won't work on aircraft. Gonna be on the local computer. So I mount the drive with a script, and so I have this FAT32 petition, and this is how I share the drive. So I'm gonna copy this SEA file over to that shared petition. And then I got to do it as root. So we'll sudo that command. And then I have the data file that Jen just took on here, right there. And we have to unmount that drive so I can use it in, so I can mount it when I do the VMware. So when I do my VMware, so it's, I could not figure out how to do this virtual machine and mount like a USB drive or something, or automatically mount it. So this is the way I figured out how to mount the drive. And the other thing, let's see here, I got to get rid of my screen so you can see this. So we got this. And the other thing is, it's like when you have the, you don't have a USB drive into the M300, you have to do flash to mount the USB drive. Here I have a script to mount that same drive I had before. So if I go to DOSC, you'll see the data. And I'll put that on 2023. And now, when I run the M300, I'm running the same tables. And I can go here, file, open. And we can just open up that file. And so we should see today's date is given here. And we have the data from a few minutes ago for being desprayed. And with the playback, I can go through and look at ADD board. Let me turn on ADD board. Let's see here. And here I can move it to a little bit later time if I wanted to. I gotta figure out why this is occurring too. This is the logger window. It's like a place where all the error messages go. And I put the CDP data to get the particle data. And now I'm not sure why it's changing it back. There's something I think I have wrong in the tables to acquire the data, because with the particle data, you need bigger data sets. But let's see what kind of. So I can go through. Run this a little faster. Know what's happening. Oh, I'm hitting the wrong function key. So King Forbes on. Oh, here we got some data. So Serial A data, or sorry, ICE and Probe A. And okay, we have that. So did you ever see any data in ICE and Probe B on this screen?
No, I didn't. No.
And B is the hot wire, right? I mean, is in the hot wire boom.
Yep.
Have you ever seen data from there?
When I plugged it into the serial port for A, I saw data.
But you did say you saw. So these are yes, but they're the same.
Yeah, so I did this in a series of, so I did the CDP first, and then I did the rice A, and then I think I went to rice B, and then the WCM, and then I went back to A and B, and I tried to do both. So there's probably different times during this where you're gonna see both on, and they're at different, yeah, so see here how it says yes for the B, now it says no.
Yeah, be nice at the end too to leave them all on, if you could.
Yeah, I can do that again. I was just trying to run with the time that I have.
Yeah. So this is, well, it kind of seems to respond there, right? Yes and no. To acquire the data. So it must have came on for a yes.
Yeah, so try to toggle to the icing B.
Yeah, icing B. But you never see any data in here, huh?
No.
Okay. That must be...
Also be in the tables?
Yeah, I've got to be in tables for the acquisition. I'm trying to figure out where this is. So there's a the way this works is there's a C programming language behind here, and then there's what they call configuration tables to configure it for different instruments so that you don't have to program in C to configure stuff, but then it's highly configurable. And you don't have to depend upon one instrument to have one acquisition system. So that's what happens with the spec probes. They all have their own LabVIEW-based system that are acquiring data only from one probe. Here you can acquire data from all types of different probes and instruments. And so you did see some CDP data at the beginning, right? Why don't we look at the CDP data? We should name this WCM window. I'll fix that table. Because the other ones, you know, I like this crowd dropper probe, you know exactly which one it was. So the crowd dropper probe. Yeah, so that's on.
I ended up spraying water on it at one point too, just so that you could see.
Oh, that's why the average rejects are so high, huh? Probably. I changed this. Oops. Now we need the time of when this first started with the CDP. Don't happen to have them times, huh?
No, I don't have them, but I can redo this and we can look at it.
Oh, again. There they are. And I got that. 1446. So 10 seconds is means it's 10 samples per second. Oh, average reject transition. Oh, that must be how fast they have to go through to be rejected or something. I don't even know what some of this means. Dump spot voltage 2.3. I think that's right. We have to look at the, I suppose we should look at the in the documents we have. Do we have like what we check on the M300 on the CDP and stuff?
Yeah, so that's a good voltage for it. Typically you see it around like 2.7 when it's relatively clean. You can get up to 3 volts. And then as it gets dirtier, it'll go down towards like 2 volts or 1 volt.
Yeah, so note the dump spot voltage. Should we put in here? Voltage is typically, what did you say? 2 to 3 volts?
Yeah, 2 to 3 volts.
So it's not really right that it's 5 volts.
Oh, if it's clean.
If it's clean.
So the cleanest that I've gotten it is like 3 volts. Yeah. I've never really seen it above 3.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high. So so lower voltage indicates not clean. All right, so that's a good one to check. On this, that's usually what I look at. It's a dump spot voltage. The current, I guess it's about 80. But if the razor current isn't up and you don't have any razor, you're not going to have any dump spot voltage. So everything else, this temperatures. I know that laser drive voltage is always about 5 volts. Maybe that's what the other one referred to. So laser drive voltage. But if that dump spot is low, everything else will be messed up. So I hate to say, look at this one, this one, this one, because if the laser drive voltage is 5 volts, then the current is going to be good and everything. So that looks okay, except for maybe a little bit dirty. And when you did that too, I assume that your CDP was working. And you see the CDP gets 10 samples a second, so it counts by 10. Because the windows only update every second. So that sample, that red that's moving is the number of samples we're getting. So And then you turned it off, and now we don't have any more data coming in. So you must have turned on one of the other ones next. Maybe I should put on there rice B as note that that is the fuselage. So now you turned on one, and they're both counting. Did you update the tables with what I showed you today? Yes.
So I updated the M300 tables on the M300. And so this is running what you sent me this morning.
Oh, this is running what I sent you this morning. Okay. That's the other thing. So they were updating both? I didn't quite see that.
Yeah, so that was when I turned on A. When you turn on rice A, it says yes for both. When you turn on rice B, it only shows for rice B.
And then a B, we have, but we don't see any data in B. Okay. Okay. Well, that's the playback. And I have some ones I won't let you go to and tell you how we have to, we could figure it, but this is the problem or a way that we can look at the tables. So now I can test them and give Jen an updated version of this. And this is how we can have people in the field and people here doing different things. So that's why it's important to upload the data so people can look at it that are not in the field. Because as Michael found out, it's a lot of work to get back from Wallops. But Jen, Michael made it back today. So let's see, I'm still playing this. I do have, so that's what the text window is here. The window here is for the time and date. So it's universal time, hour, minutes, seconds, the date. F10, let's see if that works. We'll bring up the controls. So F1, so F1 brings up this window here, control F1. If that gets hidden, F1 should bring that back. So you can bring that up all the time. F2 is the profiles, which I don't have any working right now, but we could probably put in some profile plots for like takeoff and landings, but how we ever look at them.
No, that's a WCM.
I think that's a WCM. Oh, so you want me to go to WCM? So here's the WCM data, right?
Yeah, so this was something I thought was really interesting. When I initially turned on the WCM, it said it was about like 1 gram per cubic meter for both the total water and liquid water. So it started off initially with really high values. Probably because we don't have any fans on it.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. Maybe you got some water on it when you sprayed the CDP or I don't know.
Maybe. And then I came back down and I sprayed it. So that's kind of what you're seeing, these like little lines that are starting to show up.
Well, we're getting data from it. So we're getting data from the, I think it's just a software issue. So we're getting data from the CDP to WCM and both of the rices. The only thing is our King probe is not getting data because we're getting the King probe voltage. Well, I got another question. I should stop. We had the questions, the problem with getting the King here, the slave and the voltage. So what this is the first column here is a standard deviation and the actual value is here. So this is a standard deviation for the sample. It allows you to see if there's noise on the A to D. I should label them at the top. I added in a bunch of these. But do you get any on the, particularly on the static on 4 and 5? Have you connected them up?
So I connected them up, but I didn't actually test them today.
Okay. That would be the other thing, is to see if they happen to come through. I'm not too concerned about it, so I think we should work out our heaters and other things and not worry about this A to D. It's our first task to get out there, is to get the A to D stuff. But so I don't know. But they should come across for the static and dynamic pressure for that. So it'll be interesting if they are actually on. Because that might, if they don't come across, then it's it would be another, you know, it's an independent system. Maybe the whole thing's not getting power or something.
Do they come through when I turn on like the actual hot wire, or do they? Because I don't have a separate switch like I do for the like the CDP, the King, the WCM.
The yeah, good question. How do they get power?
I can ask Chris and see his schematics for that.
Yeah, you should see how they are on a power. And we should have a diagram or something that tells us everything that has power. So maybe if they don't let you do stuff on the instruments, we can start labeling and documenting, you know, what turns on things and that. So we know what is turning on the power to that. Them transducers and stuff, because I don't remember. And yeah, I don't know how that works with their drawings exactly. But there should be a power to that station, and that should turn that on, I would think. And then let's see, I just have the other function 5 goes to some of the WCM strip charts, and 6 is the CDP spectrum, crowd dropper probe spectrum. So you got data. We could go back and look at that. So, so that's any questions. I'll have to fix the ISIN probes in the acquisition, but I think it's just a software change. So we got everything on here working except for maybe the voltage values and stuff. So maybe that helps people online stick around to know to exit. I hit F1. I'm going to stop my playback and then file exit. And then the other very important thing is do not save the project. Normally saving is good, but on here you say no. I wish they would get rid of that. So. And I will stop sharing my screen. And Jen, you can look online. There's a couple, there's some problems to do. And I figured we're going to have the impacts meeting next Thursday at 1. That's what I got it as, until someone tells me it showed up in my calendar. And usually that's the best way to get the time zone, right? So we'll do the all hands meeting on Thursday instead of class. And then next Tuesday, I'm going to be in Michigan. So I thought maybe if you guys want to log in and try to figure out how to do all the problems, you can have a little session on that. I'll put the answers up online. Maura, you're going to be here next week on Tuesday. I don't know if she's listening, but maybe I'll give Maura the solutions and stuff so she can help you. I'll ask her if she can log in and maybe help you with the problem sets. So look at them between now and next week. Okay. And then I will. And then the following week on Tuesday, I'll be at WAF. So I'll try to bring my stuff and get set up out there. And we can do this from the aircraft or something. I don't know. Who knows? Well, maybe we do not check flight. Right. Wrong. So, okay. I'm going to leave on that one. Other questions? Any questions? I'll give you another set of table. Any questions? Do your homework assignment and read the paper. Also, I'll put a quiz together. I'll try to write some quizzes. And we'll keep this as an introduction for the M300 and how to do that. So, okay. Thanks, Jen. And we'll be talking, everybody.